everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks' best source here at a Wednesday. Why is it so hard to find good daycare? You know, I've been hearing about it for years. We're going to find out a little bit more about it. Stephanie Okry from All for Learning Child Care Center is in the studio today. We're going to talk about some of these things, some of the issues I hear about all the time on the streets. By the way, our show brought to you by Northwest Tire and Grand Forks, who is looking to hire a tire technician. You know, if you're not afraid to show up for work on time, work while you're there, well, this job might be for you. Doesn't seem that too tough, does it? No prior work experience is necessary. Northwest Tire will train the right people. You get great benefits like PTO, health insurance, 401k, and more. You know, your pay will depend on experience, but again, they will train the right people. Stop in at Northwest Tire on Gateway Drive to find out more, or you can call Chad at 701-780-8473. Or apply online at nwtire.com. Any questions or comments for Stephanie, feel free to call or text our phone number, 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. Well, before we get too far into the show, it is time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. So, wife tells her husband, remember to pick up the kid at 5 o'clock. Okay, says the husband. So later the husband drops off their 3-year-old son at daycare and says, see you in 2 years, bud. What?
I didn't get it.
Says, make sure you pick up the kid at 5. He's only 3.
So he says, okay, I'll pick you up at 2. Math. Yeah, I'm not a very good math guy.
Yeah. I'll slow down next time.
All right, thanks.
Hard to squeeze a good daycare joke out of my neighbor, I tell you that.
I got to use my fingers.
So. It's only 2 fingers you had to use there. Stephanie Okry, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm originally from Halsted area, which nobody knows where that's at. It's right across the river from Hillsborough, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Grew up on a farm. I went to Mayville State for my elementary ed and early childhood. Went on for my master's and my PhD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're Dr. Stephanie.
Well, I have that behind my name, but you don't have to call me that.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, same thing. She's got her PhD, but she doesn't go by doctor.
No.
You used to be a teacher. Is that correct?
Yes. I was a teacher for many years. I worked with the Head Starts. I worked in Fargo for many years and taught one course, college course. And I know people have asked me, hey, you have your PhD. Why don't you teach college?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. I'd rather teach the little ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Little ones or the elderly are my cup of tea. And I did have a child care center in Fargo back in 2006 with my folks. And of course, they were retired farmers, and they said, we're going to be done. So I didn't want, at that time, I was too young to kind of go, gosh, I'm going to take this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold it to a family member, or one of our parents that was in the center at that time. And then I went on to all the years of teaching and really missed the child care center and her aspect in doing that. And part of it too, kind of being my own boss, and setting the center that I want, that I know kids and families want. And so then one of my old licensure here approached me once and said, hey, you want to start a child care center in Grand Forks? They're really looking for them. I'm like, well, find me a building or a place and I will. So the St. Mark's Church was looking for someone to get into their building where it used to be another child care center a few years back. And I'm like, went to look at it and it was a perfect setup to start. So we are there. We've been there since 2018, and it's been wonderful. They've been wonderful to work with. Had many parents. My waiting list, basically for all ages, until about April of 2022.
Wow.
I have calls coming in every day. I have referrals and all that good stuff. So it's needing everywhere. And even talking to the other child care centers in town, their lists are the same way, too. And then with the COVID and stuff, it's thrown a few things off in any job and stuff like that. So, but that's a little bit about myself. So I've been doing it since 2018 and I love it. Another thing is the Crookston Elementary, Washington Elementary.
Yep.
I'll be starting a center there.
Oh, okay.
Yep, too. So we're branching off. Grand Forks is my baby, and that's where I'll be. But the Crookston is also in such short need for child care centers. They right now supposedly have just basically the university child care center there.
Sure.
So they're in a nutshell, too, with no centers or anything. A lot of home daycares there are closing. And I found out, too, even talking to some here in Grand Forks, a lot of the home daycares, they're retiring, or it's so stressful having it in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wear and tear. So I give them props to having it in their homes, because it is a lot of wear and tear.
Sure.
You know, kids will be kids. And
Yeah,
kids props are to kids. Anybody that watches kids.
Yes. Yeah. Well, even being a parent.
Yeah.
And your own kids.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you that with the PhD and the master's, and I get the fact that you don't want to teach college kids. Kids. I love being around kids because you could just see the look on their face every day, how they're soaking and learning and absorbing all these things. But after all this, the degrees, the PhDs, the masters, everything, why childcare? What made you go back to that?
That is one thing, too, why I wanted to go back to that is because their brains are such sponges.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard horror stories about daycares, and I've heard just numerous different stories, and I've always have this envision of this is the center I want, this is what I want to teach these kids. And that's just, I've just loved, I've missed it ever since we sold it. And there's been things where I've kicked myself for selling it and whatever. And that's why I'm branching off, because I want to help parents.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, with the way things are costing, both parents have to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard to make ends meet if both parents aren't working. And like I tell my parents too, these are my babies too, and they're with us more than they are at home. So I ask my parents too, what do you want from us? What do you want for us to teach your kids or whatever? And we like a lot of the kids say, there's a few that have been there since day one where they'll throw fits off when their parents drop them off and they don't want to stay.
Yeah.
But then their parents come and pick them up and they're throwing a fit because they don't want
to. They don't
want
to go.
Yeah. another thing that I have found out is I have one male. My son works at the center, and he is the most popular boy ever. Like, I have had parents come to me and go, could Avery not be in that room today because I can't handle hearing his name all night, and Avery this, Avery that. And that's another thing, is there's not enough males in early childhood, because you think too, a lot of times we have parents that are, you know, only have the dad in their life or only their mom in their life, and seeing that in there, and even in the early elementary eds, there's not enough males and stuff too. But yeah, just seeing the glow, and it's like when a parent comes and say, did you guys learn about this? And we're like, yeah, oh my gosh, you know, just the, because they are so sponge and they learn, they don't forget.
No, you can see the look on your face when you talk about what you do. You can tell you absolutely love doing what you do.
Yep.
But I tell you what, it's like the state, federal, whatever. It's like they stack the cards against you guys all the time, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, you absolutely love doing what you're doing. You got great references. Word of mouth is huge. But then you got the state stepping in and you know, national stuff, federal stuff. But why do they continue to seem to pick on people like you with companies like yours?
I honestly don't know. And when I did call the state and ask them for help, I said, we need to get people in our field to work. We need to get in any field, because you drive down Washington 32nd, there's every business is looking for workers. But childcare, if parents don't have childcare, how can they work?
Then they don't go to work.
Then they don't go to work. And I was told by one, I will not name names, but she said, what do you want me to do about it? And I'm like, well, that's why I'm calling you.
Because was this local?
Bismarck.
Okay. Okay. Yep. State.
Yep. And that's the kind of answer she just kind of gave me. Yeah. So then I kind of went nicked on my own and contacted the individual, like Secretary of State and Treasury, whoever I could say, hey, we need help in trying to find people so I can get staff. Quality staff, even like the background checks. I look at, we're for years and years, and background checks are very important. So don't get me wrong. But for years and years, we could have somebody, I interview you, I liked you, we talked, I could hire you the next day, run your background checks, and you'd be supervised till I got those back. Now it's like, you can't put your foot in my classrooms until I get that back. A lot of the background checks are taking 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For one, I can't wait that long. Two, who can wait that long to get a paycheck?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but then you flip over to the North or Minnesota side and it takes 48 hours.
Yeah.
And here we're in a state that's maybe, what, a fourth of that state?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, and I've asked, can you guys just try to help us? Like, let's go back for a short period of time where it's, you know, yes, it can be supervised, you know, for a short period of time, you know, go back to the old ways until we get this back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, no, it's a federal thing. Okay, so then I went through and tried to find who I can contact in the federal areas, but I haven't gotten any callbacks or emails back yet. Another thing is, too, is I'm in this profession because I love it.
Yep.
So I'm not going to put any of my babies, any of my mom and dads, or even any of my staff in danger. So if I'm going to sit down and do an interview and I see twerks, mm-hmm. that I'm not going to hire that person. Or even we always talk about ratios, and ratios are important, like 1-4 in this age and this age. And when I was teaching, I had 18 to 22 kids, kindergartners, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I went, because I know what to do. And granted, they look at like accidents and stuff like that.
Sure.
But to give us a little trust in what we do, you know, of course I'm going to follow the rules and the rigs and all that good stuff. But when we're in a, like I always say, I think we're in a depression, probably maybe worse than a depression is what I kind of think. So I just think, you know, they got to kind of work with us a little bit, because there's no way that if there was no childcare, of course, one parent would have to stay home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
but or grandma and grandpa be hating you.
Exactly. Exactly. and I am a grandparent and I love my grandson mm-hmm. to death, but I raised my children.
Yeah.
You know, or am still raising my children, but it's like, and it's not, you know, it's just, it's so frustrating. And, you know, or I've had people come in for job interviews and they, yep. Okay. And I get their background check back and they don't show up for a job.
Yeah. It's typical.
Yeah.
You know, what gets me when you talk about the background checks, now maybe I'm wrong, but if you watch any TV, cop shows, like reality shows, okay, so the cop might pull somebody over. Okay, here's his name and his age or whatever, social. Boom, they're right back. Well, yeah, he's got priors for this and that and this and that and this and that. Why does it take so damn long to get these things done if you want to hire somebody?
Right.
It's ridiculous in a state the size and the population of North Dakota.
Yep. And I do too. This is how protective I am of my children at my center is I also look online to see if their name's up for anything whatever before they even come in. Or if somebody says, hey, you know, I'm looking for a job, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to creep them.
Yeah, absolutely. I do the same thing.
I'm not just going to have any Tom, Dick, and Harry come into my center. Right. And no.
First thing you're going to do is get on Facebook and see what they're posting, see what kind of pictures, see what kind of things they're talking about. But yeah, that's what you should do.
Yep. I have found out too, like even working in the education all these years, there's a lot of people that write these things that don't have a background in this sort of thing, or have not been in a child care center to see what we actually do, or don't have kids of their own. You know, like I know, like Create a Curriculum is a curriculum that a lot of use. There was two young, like 22-year-olds that came and told us how to do it, but they had no kids and no backgrounds.
Oh, sure.
You know, so it's like that too is like, get these, you know, officer or anything in the, you know, not the mayors, but like the big head honchos in Bismarck or the feds, come into these centers and see what we do.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything, like I tell my parents too, like pretty much all my parents have my personal cell phone, because I always tell them, if you don't see me or if I'm not there or can't get an answer from somebody, text me, because I'm usually the last one that always hears something. And, you know, like your baby's here more than it is, you know, they're at home. So
maybe like next time the governor comes to town to check out all the things going on downtown, all the things going on at the airbase and the university and things, maybe they ought to take a little stop at one of these daycare centers and talk to you and other owners of these businesses and find out, because, you know, they're hearing about it. I don't have any kids. I've never had a kid in childcare, but I hear about it all the time. So you can't tell me they don't.
Well, no. Another thing that I think that's kind of ridiculous about it, too, is that if they have all these regulations and then, you know, these parents can't find daycare, well, some of them will just end up putting them in somebody that is completely off the radar.
Yep.
That, you know, they're just doing it out of their basement, you know, cash under the table. And, you know, I mean, is that better? Absolutely not.
I mean, isn't that called a babysitter?
Yep.
Really? I mean, when I was growing up, that's it wasn't childcare. We had a babysitter.
Yep. You know? Yep. And you know, like, too, like I totally agree with you. They need to come to our centers and see what we actually do. Ask us questions. You know, spend the day with us. You know, it's like, it's not like, hey, you're just babysitting. Well, no. You know, we have infants doing sensory projects. We have infants, we have reading to the infants, you know, or toddlers. You know, they're, like I tell parents, don't put them in nice clothes because that paint says washable, but it's false advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, even though we put a little Dawn dish soap in there, they're kids. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, they're going to, and I tell parents to, and it doesn't sound like the greatest thing, but I always tell them, we do things here that you typically probably won't do at home.
Mm-hmm.
Play in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Play in the sand.
All the things we did as kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like in the toddler room, we had a big bucket of soapy water and put them in their diapers and they splashed and had a heyday, you know? So it's going to be things that we do, you know, like, and yes, they're going to feed themselves. Like I had a mom tour like a few months ago and the toddlers were all sitting in their chairs and they're tiny, tiny chairs. And she goes, they feed themselves. I go, yep.
Yeah.
You know? And I go, yeah, we give them a plate. Then they sit there and they just chow down. And, you know, and two, like even that age group, they're, our toddler one group, I always call, they're our little instigators because they're just learning. You know? And I know parents are like, don't tell me they're just learning. They are. They're just learning. And you know. They eat lunch. They go straight to their cot. You know, you have these little 1.5, 2-year-olds. They know their routine.
Yep, and structure.
Yes. You know, and too, like during our little quarantine stuff that we had going around last year, I had one mom email. She goes, can I get your guys' schedule? You know, because at home, we're home for quarantine because of COVID or whatever. And I'm like, sure. She goes, I don't know how you guys do this every day. And it's just like, you know, this is what we want to do. This is what we do. And so, yeah.
So parents don't just drop their kids off and you plop them in front of the TV all day and go, okay, kids, it's time to eat. Okay, now it's time to take a nap. When you get up, we'll watch more TV.
Absolutely not. Nope. We have, our iPads are on all the time, but it's music, you know, so they're not watching the iPads. It's just the music going around and we always have constant music during nap time. We have soft music. If it's a day where it's, you know, like today is like a droopy day. Plus we have a large motor room downstairs. During holidays is when we have big movie day. So we have big screen and we have movies, but no, we do not have no TVs in our classrooms. And, yeah, we're constantly doing arts and sensory is huge with the younger kids. We go outside if it's above 30 or above zero. With the infants too, we even bring them outside, but no wind and that's a different temperature. But they go outside because, and parents usually, or some parents say, well, don't bring them outside because they're sick. Fresh air is your best.
Yeah.
Like I've even asked doctors, can you get sick going outside? They're like, no.
No.
It's the best thing for them. That's why, you know, I go by the schools and they're wearing masks when they're outside and that breaks my heart because they're
so do you tend to go with, say that example you just used, don't let her go outside, she's sick. Do you follow their instructions in, or do you still tend to do what you know is right? I mean, because you don't want to piss anybody off, but I'm guessing you probably know a lot more about parenting than some of these parents do.
I just tell parents, and I've only ran into it twice, but I tell my parents when they say something like that, I said, well, then maybe they're too sick to be at school.
Oh, sure.
Or daycare. And then they kind of like, oh, what? And I said, yeah, you know, and you can't get ear infections. And I swear ear infections are catchy. But I said, from the wind, you can't get an ear infection, you know, because I've called on, you know, and things that go around our daycare. I call my friend that's a PA and I'm like, okay, is this just us or is this everybody? No, it's everything. Okay, what can we do? And the number one thing she always says, get fresh air. Open your windows. Or get the kids outside and get them fresh air and stuff like that. So, you know, there's been parent that gave me a super hard time. And I just said, too, then she's too sick to be here if she can't go outside. Or, you know, if they play, if they're not playing like themselves or whatever, you know, and they're lethargic or whatever. But, yeah, no, outside is probably your best place to be.
So I would imagine, now say somebody's watching this show and they're going, wow, daycare, childcare, this is something I could do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to do this. I bet you it's not that easy to start something like this, is it? With the licensing and all the state and the Fed regs and all of that. I would imagine it's a lot of work to fire something like this up.
Yes. I thought back in 2018, I thought about it in probably January of 18. April, I contacted the licensing and we kind of got together. I didn't get to open my doors until September 18th of 18.
Wow.
Yeah. And even it's worse on the Minnesota side. Even I started that with the school district probably back in June. We wanted to be open in September before school started, like the first week in September. And we're in a school district, you know, in a school district. Mm-hmm. So the rooms are there, fire marshal, all this. We still barely have anything going there.
Wow.
You know, so it's, and parents bringing their kids to work. That's not okay.
No.
For one, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And kids, you know, don't understand that, hey, mommy and daddy have to work and do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Or even work from home. And it's just, you know, like, you know, I've had a couple parents are like, yeah, I just bring them to, you know, them to work or whatever. And it breaks my heart. Because it's like, how can a parent do what they want to do at their job when their poor child?
Yeah. Pretty tough to do your job and be a parent at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We've kind of got a little mini daycare going here for a while.
Well, yeah. And if you watched any of our shows the last 2 weeks, you would hear them screaming in the background every
hear them
now
once
and then.
In a while.
Yes.
But even, you know, just running this, you know, I can set a pack and play up or have the jumper there. But the majority of the time you're sitting there and you're holding them because mm-hmm. you're trying to get all this stuff done that you need to do
Absolutely.
For work.
Yep.
And then, you know, if you have another, like my wife who has a job that works for a corporation, well, then she has the headache of listening to, you know, supervisors or whoever that,
Absolutely.
You know, they, because they need them to work. And they're yep. like, well, what do you want me to do? I mean, yep. there's literally nothing. I mean, fortunately enough for us, I was able to bring our son here. But I mean, what if you're a single mother?
Yep.
Like, yep. and then you got to go to your boss and say, well, I either take him to work with me or I don't come to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
then what do? They're going to fire you because now you can't come to work. I mean, yep. it's just a vicious cycle of BS.
It
there
is.
You go.
And then we have parents that are out on the base. They have no other mm-hmm. family here.
Right. Right.
You know, so they're having a hard time. We don't have any place to go for her. And, you know, and you call every, you know, like I try to give lists of home daycares that I've heard, you know, that I know mm-hmm. and whatever. Well, we're full, you know, it's, and nobody wants to start a center or a home daycare because of the paperwork and because of this and that and this and that. And don't get me wrong. Yes, there needs to be rules, rigs, because, you know, there is stuff that needs to be followed, but they need to help us get workers and understand that, you know, like, for instance, when one time our licensure came in our non-mobile infant room where there's not moving babies,
mm-hmm.
Our latch on our doors for the diapers was closed, but then we have an extra latch to lock them. And that wasn't locked.
Oh, boy. And it's probably 4 feet off the ground,
yes.
so a child couldn't get to it anyway.
Yes, and I understand they have to follow their rigs and, you know, mm-hmm. their things too. I totally get it or whatever. But higher up than that, they need to understand that we didn't come into this profession of, hey, get into some butt pace, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's putting my staff down too because
sure.
they're like, that wasn't locked because I had a baby crying and I moved that baby. And I'm like, yeah. You know, it happens, but it's like, it would be different if it was in the toddler room, of course, because what's the first thing they're going to do is go for something that's
right.
not a toy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, but, and I understand licensures have to follow their rigs too. Totally get it. But higher up than that, those people too need to come in and say, hey, let's see what they're doing and what, you know, what maybe there's some things we can change here in the, you know, but you know, then too, what in any profession, that one place can ruin it for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, and I think they have to look at the bigger picture, too, is like, okay, well, this center doesn't have any write-ups or anything,
mm-hmm.
but this one has 25,000 write-ups. Okay. Well,
yeah.
You know, there's a difference there.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's we need to get those higher rigs to come down and see what we actually do, why we're there, you know, and all my staff, I mean, I haven't had a huge turnover. It's just getting staff in. I have a few staff that have been there since with me since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of them that have been over a year, you know, or they'll go home for the summer. They'll come back during school, you know. So, I mean, and that says a lot, too. And that they enjoy their job. They're coming back.
Right.
You know, and I've had a few that left to go try something different. And they're like, can I come back?
Yeah.
You know, so they love their job.
Yeah. And you can't blame them. Yeah. No. If you want to go try something else, go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially when you're young and, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're going to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go try something else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. So, and it feels good that, hey, I'm probably not a bad boss if they're going to come back.
Right.
So, but yeah, so it's a tough profession and it's something that we need for others to
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm. We've got more for you, by the way.
Yep.
Stephanie O'Cry from All For Learning Child Care Center. Right now, though, I want to talk about drain savers. Do you live in a house, you know, maybe get the slow drains or even worse, toilets clogging up? Or how about this, even more worse, sewer backup? Well, then it's time to call your local drain cleaning specialist in Grand Forks. You better call Drain Savers today. They can handle everything from slimy sinks to root-infested sewers. And they've got this video inspection service where they're going to show you. They put a camera down there and they can tell you, see, look, this is what it is. They're not just going to say afterwards, you had some roots or something in there, blah, blah, blah. Slow drains, clogged toilets, sewer backup, these will all be things of the past. All you got to do is make a simple phone call. 701-765-3227. Again, 701-765-3227. Call Drain Savers of Grand Forks. Call them today. You're not going to have any of those problems. Stephanie O'Cry from All For Learning Child Care Center is here, and we're finding out some of this stuff about child care and daycare, and I hear all of the nightmares from parents who have young kids, friends of mine. But I'd like to know, say I'm dropping off, we'll call it a two-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. What would a typical day like be for my two-year-old junior if I brought him to your daycare? Tell me about how the day goes. What do they do?
Absolutely. Well, when they first come, we have breakfast from like 7 to 9. And two, we're flexible with our food because I know some parents are, they have an appointment. Can you save some food? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically then that room, they have a little bit of free play. And then they'll go outside and then, we come inside, they'll have snack and we'll do an art activity. And then in that typical group is a lot of like free play because they're still not quite ready for that structure. And then we'll, read books. Of course, in that session, diapers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have lunch around 10 to 12 or so. And then it'll be rest time. They wake up. We have snack, more free play, art activities, large motor, anything like that at the end of the day. And that's typically how a day. We try to keep them as busy as we can.
Sure.
For less, which is going to downgrade the mm-hmm. behaviors.
Now, when you talk about food, lunch, breakfast, all of that, I would imagine you have to deal with picky eaters. Is that an issue or can it be?
Yes, it can be. We are on the food program, which that's another thing that we'll have all these on the food. You got to serve, you know, like they say, give a kid a fourth of an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my kids are probably going to get a half or a whole because if that's the only thing that they're going to eat on that plate,
sure,
they're going to get something in their tummy. So my portions are quite large. Just due to the fact is, and we kind of know like the meals of what the kids devour.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I make lasagna, pretty sure every kid is going to have two or three scoops, you know, or they're going to want two mm-hmm. or three scoops. Or like we always have like a Pizza Friday. Every other Friday, we have Pizza Friday, so those are popular. We also have to put in some that are not so popular, like we do the egg rolls and, what's another one that they don't like? Like our taco days are kind of but on those days that I know that, because I always ask the teachers, did they devour it or not or whatever? So then I always put extra veggies or fruit on there.
Yep, because, sriracha.
Yes. Yeah. We don't do that.
You don't just feed them all Freezy Pops and vanilla wafers
then. No. We do want to do have a taste test or taste contest or taste test or whatever you do or whatever to see kind of what the lemon looks like on their faces or whatever. Yeah. But I haven't done that yet. But yeah, so no, it's a variety of different things. And on our plates, we always have to have the five food groups. So mm-hmm. they get everything yep. or whatever. And I know one of my school age parents went at the end of the summer. They go to school in a different area, and they're like, the girls said they're gonna come here and eat during school. And I go, what? Yep, because you cook better than the schools. And I'm like, I know. But yeah, so it's like it varies on what they like and stuff. So but you know, we do have picky eaters. We do have, you know, we follow the food allergies and all that good stuff. So mm-hmm. if a child is on like soy milk or anything like that, we sure. make sure that they have that, and that's always posted so everyone can see. And we're lucky where we only have a peanut allergy, and it, you know, that's mm-hmm. the only thing that we have right now. So, you know, but there's a lot of other things that can come up where a lot of centers are like, we can't have this, this, and this or whatever. And then it gets really nervous, you know, like, sure. oh gosh, is he going to touch it? Or is she going to touch mm-hmm. it or whatever? But so, but yeah, we have, and then our snacks, some days are yogurt and crackers and cottage cheese and crackers, or it's a lot of crackers mm-hmm. is basically yep. what it is. But we throw in like that. And the kids always have access to water.
Right.
And stuff like that. So they have their water bottles and all that good stuff. And
you know, you had mentioned about, kids are being kids. Yep. They're going to get dirty. Yep. When I was a kid, I was always dirty. I always had a scuffed up face or a black eye or something. And kids being kids, it doesn't take much for a kid to run into a chair or run into a corner of a door or something like that. But this is one thing I've always thought about. Now, if my kid was in daycare and he came home with a black eye or something like that, I would say, what happened to the kid? Took a tumble playing. I would go, oh, okay, kid being yep. a kid. But I get you with the way, I'm guessing the way society is now, I bet you it's not always that easy, is it?
No.
Oh, really? He fell playing, huh? I mean, I could just see it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that, and I might be wrong, but I'm guessing these parents are probably the kind of parents that make their kids wear a hockey helmet just to watch TV or something, you know? Let them be a darn kid, right?
Yep.
Or a mask yep. in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, right. yep. The day I opened and I tell my staff, if they fall and they don't even have a mark, do an incident report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. And in our toddler one room, I tell the parents, some days you will have five incident reports, you know, and it might not be anything big, but just in case something comes about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because yes, kids will be kids. New walkers, they're going to run in, they're going to boom. Sometimes kids fall and get a bump and they don't cry and yeah. we don't know, or get bit.
Yeah. Or you, if you go up to them, are you okay? Then they start crying because yeah. they know something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we've had two where there's been, you know, biters and, oh, yeah. you know, and then the parent will text me, hey, did he get bit or did she get bit? And I'm like, well, he didn't cry or, mm-hmm. you know, so there's some things that we don't see.
Sure.
And, but yeah, there's some parents that will just sign the incident report. And I'm like, do you want a copy? No.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, you can watch a 1 year old or somebody that's just learning how to walk. They could walk across this studio and fall five times. Yep. What do you do? Write five incident reports because they fell five times taking their 20-yard walk or a 20-foot walk.
Our kid just fell off the bed last week, and our bed is like 8 feet off the ground.
Yeah. Yep. You need a ladder to get in it.
Yeah. And, he took a spill on that one. But, you know, they bounce.
Yeah, they yep. do. I mean, these kids are pretty flexible. Yep. They really are. They're like, I call them little gumbies.
Yes.
Because they can bounce off of stuff, including the floor or whatever, and it seems like they're just fine.
Yep.
So I got a question. This is kind of going off top of what we're talking about here. But, I mean, because one of the things, like, you know, if you don't have a daycare provider or something happens, well, one thing that just irritates the crap out of me is that for the last year, if somebody just said, oh, I was around somebody with COVID, all of a sudden they get 2 weeks off of work. But if you have no daycare, well, then you're probably getting the third degree. But with the people that are on unemployment, are they still able to get daycare? Because I would think that if you're collecting an unemployment check, you shouldn't be able to have your child in a daycare. I mean, unless it's, you know, you're going out and looking for a job.
Right.
But that's not an 8 hour a day gig for the most part. I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of curious if anybody's ever asked that question.
And I like, when anybody is like, a lot of school kids, you know, school parents and stuff like that, like, if they are on, like, say, child care assistance, which is for the working parents, basically, and the school kids, but it's, or for the college students, I should say, not school kids, but I have had where the mom, dad drop them off and go home and sit at home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And some people do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's nurses that work 12-hour shifts or whatever, and maybe they have that Wednesday off and they have things to do around the house. I get it. I mean, I probably would do the same thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I tell parents, I'm like, if you need a day to yourself and you have it off, drop them off. Because mm-hmm. parents have called, well, I have the day off. Can I drop them off? Yeah. You're paying
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It doesn't matter if you're at work or not, really.
Exactly. Exactly. But I have had the situation where, yep, they drop their kids off and then, you know, they would be there from the time we opened till the time they closed. And when it came to the time where essential workers only, they got mad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I try to tell, you know, even the mom, I'm like, you know, do you want a part-time job? You know, or, hey, I'm looking for a cook. Would you be interested in cooking? No, no, no. And now unemployment, I think, if I might be totally wrong, but they just have to show that they've applied for jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody can sit in front of a computer at home and apply for 3-4 jobs, you know. And then I've heard where we can, like, say I give an interview, you're on unemployment, and I offer you the job, and you don't take it, and I can call that in, not knowing yep. if they're on unemployment right. or not, or right. whatever, which should have been years ago, you know, and not just in this mind that we're in now. But yeah, I have had parents that just, you know.
I just wonder how many people are, like, flooding these daycares that are collecting an unemployment check. They're getting the daycare assistance, yep. and then they're getting their food for their EBT. And so basically all they're doing is just sitting around, yep. you know,
pawning their kid off on somebody else,
working on their Instagram page and then, you know, having everybody else pay for,
yep.
you know, and then you got the working parent that is like, I can't find daycare.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, there are those ones out there. And it's unfortunately, like, it burns the working mm-hmm. and it affects the working. But I do ask my parents where they're working or their school schedule, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know, because typically a child can be in daycare for 10 hours. Well, I say 10 hours a day can be at our center, you know. And if you're a working parent where you're working overtime because you have to,
mm-hmm.
or your class runs late, of course I'm not going to say.
You got construction workers who might right. not know when they're going to be done and, right. and things like that.
Right.
I would imagine doing what you do, the health risks. For both your employers and the kids, because, well, let's face it, kids are always sick.
Yep.
Kids are around kids. It goes around. But, you know, even to the fact, like, when a kid is teething,
yep.
right away, a lot of people are going to say, well, the kid is sick. Look at him. His eyes watering. He's all snuffed up
or
whatever.
He's got COVID.
Yeah, he's got the COVID. No, he's getting teeth. I mean, I would imagine right. You almost have to be kind of a nurse / doctor along with everything else you do.
Yeah, yeah. And I under, you know, like I say, like, I honestly had a 5-year-old, well, 4-year-old. He had a temp of about, this was my other center that I had, so quite a few years ago, but he had a temp of 102.8.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom seriously told me, he's teething. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
It's a little harsh, isn't it?
Pretty high. So what does Steph do? I do my research. I call the dentists and say, hey, what kind of temp roughly for teething? And they're like, well, typically, like, you know, like 100 or 99. And 99 to me is really not a temp. But
right.
They said like 100, 101 or whatever. I'm like, okay. So, you know, if they're running about higher, he goes, probably something else, you know, or whatever. But totally understanding that teething is teething. And then when you get to the, you know, and I tell my parents too, I'm, you know, when your kid is sick, yes, it's so hard to keep them home. Mm-hmm. But if we don't kick the cycle, it's going to keep going into the cycle. Like, I know now everywhere, hand, foot, and mouth is going around.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had our first breakout, I called Steph and I said, okay, is it going around or is it just us? What can we do or whatever? She goes, it's going around like fireworks. RSV is starting up again. And mm-hmm. it's like, we're not even in the winter months.
Right, right.
You know? So, you know, when I tried to tell my parents, like, we had to take their temps every time still they come into the center, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, and I say, you know, just if they are sick, and they're not themselves, you know, keep them home, because if we don't nick it in the butt right away, it's just going to go in a cycle. It's
going to spread.
It's going to spread, and we're never going to get it, you know, dissolved. Like, I know during COVID, some centers closed just one room,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, then sometimes they found out, like, God, we just closed that room, but then now it's in this room, and then it's this room. And so then it's like, parents are now, okay, this kid has it, now this kid. So it's like, to close those, you know, boom. And knock on wood, we had to do it once.
Yeah.
Because we shut the whole center down and that was it, you know. And too, like, we have the I call it the COVID bombs, but we have that stuff that I spray and yep. around the rooms, you know, on Fridays, and then to kill all the germs and stuff. And there's only so much cleaning that we can do. We love to share germs. Mm-hmm. That's our number one thing.
Well,
at the center.
That's the way life is supposed to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because some of the research I did, they're saying childcare is a $57 billion a year industry in the United States. And why is it so darn hard to find good daycare? I mean, you right away people are thinking, oh, gosh, we could get rich doing this. Let's do it. But it's just so hard to find.
Hard to find. And it is, I think it has to pertain to to get it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the, you know, the fire marshal and the health inspector and the licensing, and you have to have this and, you know, that. And I think about my Minnesota site coming up. It's basically the same name as my North Dakota one. It's just I had to add a 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the letter rejected twice. And it's like, okay, so why am I getting this rejected? And finally, what did I do? I got some of the big head honcho people going, I go, this is what I, you know, and the superintendent over there is helping out tremendously. And all of a sudden, within a week, I got my letter. That was...
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like, it's the same name.
I have a question for you. So if you thought that there would maybe like one solution to like this daycare problem, because I mean, I looked it up. I mean, it's everywhere right
yep.
now.
Yeah.
What would be, do you think one of the biggest factors that would be like the solution to kind of solution solving.
And I think like, cause I've thought about that and what can I do? And, you know, and like North Dakota has grants out there that we've all applied for to give our staff more money, mm-hmm. you know, and I've even raised my staff more money and then the grants are still sitting here. We got to change this on it. Got to change this on it. Okay. Well, my staff can't wait for the extra, you know, cash in their pocket. Christmas time is coming. Mm-hmm. But just more support for the higher ups, you know, having them come in and seen and working with us on what we can do. If it has to be for 6 months for the background checks to have that person be supervised, then do it.
You know what? Just say it. Do it.
I mean, I just thought of this now, but I think something that could possibly help is if the government were to get involved and have, you know, almost like a school where you could go in there, you could take the classes to become a provider, all the background checks and everything are already done, so then they just come right out of it and you can just hire them right on the spot.
Yep. And I know there was a lady in town here that kind of had a temp agency, and she did kind of have that where, you know, these people can be subs for us, mm-hmm. and, you know, we can all, you know, kind of share them or whatever, and their background checks are already done. And then, hey, if they like your center, hey, they can stay or whatever. But I'm not sure on the full thing if that's still going, if she's still doing that or whatever. Because, you know, even with temp agencies, there's some places that you don't have to have a background, or they just look you up and you're fine to work.
I mean, this would be something good for a tech school. Back in the day, I went to school for radio and television. They actually pretty much found me the job.
Yep.
And I know they did that with some of their other courses too, electronics, auto body, auto mechanics, whatever it was. Not only did you get the skills and learn the skills how to do the job you wanted to go do, but they've helped place you in that job. And I would imagine with childcare right now, if they had something like this where you could get a degree, and whether it only might only take a month or 3 months or whatever, I would imagine that they would fill... They would be able to have these employees go to work as soon as they were done graduating.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, the like I said, it's a government paid for. I say it's a 3 month course, but while they're in there, they actually get paid to be in there. They get their mm-hmm. hourly wage to go to that school, and then they come out of it, and then they're ready to go.
Yep. And I know when I went to Bayville, like my freshman year, I was on in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you go like some courses or some degrees, okay, you're not going to go, you know, say you're not going to do your clinicals until you're a senior. Mm-hmm. What if I hate it?
Yeah.
You know, like Ivy, you know, like there's some girls that have done like their hours that they have to get in for early childhood degrees. Okay, well, they can't pay them though. Okay, well, you might. How does a college student live without getting a paycheck?
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, some of those courses, hey, you want to be placed at this center, you know, and hey, I can pay you or whatever, like you said. And if they like it, they stay, or, you know, to try to get more daycares. And that, you know, because I've had other people ask me, hey, how do I get started up if I want to start one? You know, and I help them out, and I said, this is going to be I'm bluntly honest with it. This part is hard. You got to call this person every single day. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, do this, because I'm not going to lie to them and say, hey, it's an easy process. You just fill out this paperwork and here you go. Because it is many swear words in the back of your head as you're trying to wait for this person and this person. And there's so many people you have to go to get this piece of paper saying, okay, you know.
I could imagine. I've been going through the process of adopting a dog.
Yep.
We had to put the last of our three rescue dogs down last week. And I'm not kidding you. You wouldn't believe the stuff you have to do to try to adopt and rescue a dog.
Yep.
They even came and looked at my house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I had to have references. I had to have all of these different things. But one thing I wanted to ask you, Stephanie, when we talk about people maybe starting up their own child care center or daycare, home versus centers, home child care versus being at a facility like you guys are, is there a big difference? Is there things to look for, maybe the do's and the don'ts?
Yeah, and like I said, my kids always went to home daycare because that's what we had around our area.
Sure.
And parents do ask me when they come in, especially newly parents, you know, and I say, home daycares, you have one set of eyes. You have many age groups in that home. And sometimes that daycare provider has to make lunch. So sometimes that TV might be the babysitter for a little bit, which is totally normal.
Big deal. Yeah,
big deal. And I'm not knocking home daycares either, because that's where my kids went. And, you know, and versus the center, I have found out in my education is there's more than one set of eyes. They're in age groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's more activities going on. There's not that, you know, TVs and all, you know, computers are good at the older age, but you know, there's not that technology stuff that they probably see at home when mom and dad have to make supper. So here, you know, watch that. So keep that for, you know, kind of for home where, you know, and there's activities constantly going, they're getting outside and, you know, whereas home daycare, sometimes you can't go outside because you might have a baby, you know,
right.
And stuff like that. So that's just kind of the differences. I've even told people it's just a preference too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes parents are like, well, I just want them at a home daycare and, you know, that's what I like. And absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, you can drive by places in Grand Forks and you can see the fenced-in yards and it's like, well, they either have a daycare or they're really old school Catholics and have a lot of kids. You know, I was trying to do a little bit of research on all this stuff about childcare because, you know, like I said, I keep hearing how it's so hard to find good childcare. But one of the things it told me, and it did not explain why, was when you own a childcare center or daycare center, be ready for the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what that meant until sitting down with you now and going over some of these things. It's unexpected every single day in your field, isn't it?
And that's yes, it is. No matter, I mean, from incidents to accidents to, you know, a teacher might have, hey, we're going to learn about, you know, pumpkins this week.
Mm-hmm.
While last week we learned about dinosaurs and the kids are still crying about dinosaurs. Well, you change your lesson and you're going to do dinosaurs for another week. So it's everywhere. Or you might have, you know, a parent that, you know, is like gung-ho on something that's bothering them, even if it's at work and you're the first person that they're going to see, and they might need a little, you know, hey, I'm going to yell at you for a little while. Not your fault, but, you know, to be supportive for parents too, if they just want to blow, you know, so every day is different. And that's what I like about my job too, is every day is a whole new day. Some lately has been more headache days than, you know, but then it's like tomorrow's a new day. With family life experiences, I take minute by minute, you know, life is too short to worry about the little things and stuff. And with my job too, it's like, I see that little one and I just like, oh, you know, and it's a new day. And you think of what they say and you're like, whoa, you know, or sometimes you're like, ooh, do you think your parents want you to tell me that, you know, or something like that. You know, you get all these stories and it's fun because like you said, every single day is different.
You know, one of the fun things about my job is reading people as I'm talking or interviewing them.
Yep.
You can tell by the look on their face, their expressions, their isms. you could tell if they really, really enjoy what they're doing. And it, I think you really like what you're doing, don't you?
I love what I'm doing. That's why I'm expanding.
You know, something I wanted to, because when you were just talking about the difference between home daycare and centers, because we've done both. And
yep.
I think one of the arguments people say is that at a home daycare, well, they have that personal relationship with that daycare provider because that's that one person that they see every day.
Right.
But when, like, I wasn't expecting this when we drop our kid off at your center, it doesn't matter. I couldn't see a completely new staff person that I haven't seen before. And every single one of them always say, good morning, Thomas. Yep. They know my son's name right mm-hmm. as soon as I drop him. And they have to do that for all the kids, but they know it like without, it's not like they have to look at a picture or read a sheet or anything. Yeah. They know it.
Yep.
And I think that's just really cool.
Yep. Yep. And too, I tell my staff too, I said, you know, everyone deserves a bad day.
Sure.
Everybody. Kids are going to have bad days. Parents are going to have bad days. And just even for me, for somebody telling me, have a good day, you know, it's like, holy mm-hmm. buckets, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, ah, yeah. So greeting kids, you know, because they're like, even when they're as young as little Thomas, oh, they know I'm here and, blah, yep. you know, oh, yeah. and hey, you know, and then it's weird, but it shows something with the area that you're at. Because I have been to centers when I've toured other centers, in even school, all you see is, you know, the kid get dropped off and nothing is said or no community. My pet peeve is when the parent picks the child up and parent has a question. Oh, what did he do today? I don't know. You know, or did this happen? Well, I don't know. So I always tell my staff, communicate. And if a parent asks, you should have that answer right there because these kids have been here for over 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I've had where there's been notebooks and the classrooms where you just jot notes down. Each room, infant rooms and toddler rooms have daily sheets, mm-hmm. you know? So, and like in the older groups, if a parent wants it, we'll write it up, you know, get a daily sheet because yeah, I mean, I'm a parent. I want to know what my kid's doing.
Yep.
And my pet peeve when I was picking my kids up at a young age is, I don't know, from the teacher or, you know, it's like, what?
Or how about the, Mr. Kanelka, before you look at this picture, I just wanted to let you know we were really drawing dinosaurs. Might not look like that, but it's a dinosaur. You look at the picture and go, ooh.
Yeah, I have kept a few. I've taken a picture of a few and, you know, kind of. Yeah.
It's a what-saurus rex?
Yep. And it's like, even like if, you know, like if someone's having, one of my friends is having a bad day or whatever, I'll send this picture. Say, you know, like you said, draw dinosaurs today. What do you think? You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, you see everything. I said, we do. If I could have know what I know now back in when I first started all my education and mm-hmm. whatever, I would have wrote a book of what kids say.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
The old Art Linkletter thing. Kids say the darndest things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it's like, you think you're like, oh God, did I say that one day? Because they're there. Mm-hmm. If it's a word or, you know, like something different, like, you know, Liam's into saying cool. You know,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I always say that. I'm like, oh, cool. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now he'll like look out and see a tractor. Cool. You know, it's like, okay, they are sponges and you got to really watch. But and then some days they'll come up, you know, like when my son was growing up, he just looked in the sky and said, oh, there's a crescent. And we're like, oh my God, I had to think a crescent. What shape is that? You know? Oh, the moon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. The moon's a crescent, you know? So it's like, woo, over my head. And
yep. My kid learned that frickin' dog pretty darn quick. So.
Yeah, they pick up those fun words quite quickly. And it's
at least
oh.
he's saying frickin', right? I tell you what, Stephanie, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I learned a lot today. I see the issues, at least part of them. And, man, you guys do a great job. I hope they make things easier for you in the future. It's ridiculous. I've got the mayor coming in on Monday. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about this and see maybe if I'm sure you've probably already talked to him, but see if they can't, maybe he can give us some answers on why the heck everything is so darn slow.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
And when they came up with, hey, here, we got some grants for you. Great. But how am I going to get my staff
mm-hmm.
to give them that money?
Right.
You know, or it's a grant for cleaning products. Well, that's already in my budget.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yes, it's wonderful and everything, but I need the staff before.
Sure.
You know,
can't take kids in if you don't have the staff.
Right. And how can I pay my staff that I don't have yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, how can I get them in here, you know, and say, yeah, here, this is what you're going to get an hour, you know, but then oh, it's still here. We got a few quirks. Well, then why did you tell me about it?
Yeah, you go back to this vicious circle we were talking about earlier. You know, if the parents can't go to work, well, then they can't pay. They can't go to daycare. They can't bring their kids to daycare. If there's no kids to daycare, you can't get the staff. You can't pay. It's a vichy choix, isn't what they call that? Vicious circle?
Yes.
Again, thank you, Stephanie Okry.
Yep, thank you so much.
Again, All for Learning Child Care Center, and maybe this is a dumb question, but do you have any openings?
No.
No.
Like, I even tell parents when they call, and she's like, you know, some parents will call, well, I'm due, you know, or I just had the baby. I'm like, oh, sweetheart, you got to get on a list before you even kind of think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you plan on not having a kid for 2 years, get your name on list.
Because
it's crazy out there, especially for infants,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. And then, you know, the site. And in my center, I keep, you know, one spot open in each room for my transition.
Sure.
Because last year I had about 8 parents say they're expecting. And it's like, holy buckets, you know, and so trying to figure that out.
So good for you.
Yeah. So I've kept one spot open in each room so that I can have that to transition, because mm-hmm. my parents that are in my center get first dibs, mm-hmm. you know. But
all right. So all you newlyweds out there thinking about starting a family, this is something you might want to think about. I mean, even if you're just thinking about getting married now and you're looking at having a kid a year down the line, you got to start thinking about that right now, about good child care. Okay, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Stephanie Okry from All for Learning Child Care Center. Man, it answered a lot of questions for me. And a special shout out going out to Probita's Promotions. It is time, everybody, for that Probita's Promotions giveaway. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a hint. So this bag contains a whole bunch of things, but there's one thing I want you to guess. Now, if you can figure out what it is, I'm going to give clues throughout the week. If you can figure out what it is, you can either text us your answer at 701-213-0863, or you can either go to gfbestsource.com with your answer. But here is your hint number one for what is one of the things in this bag. Friend of the McNugget. Friend of the McNugget. Think about it. Make sure you text or call, all right? Probita's Promotions, if you're looking to boost your business and stand out from the crowd, they are the perfect ones for you. Man, they got some great swag. If you look at all the stuff we wear, it all comes from Probita's Promotions. Logo apparel, hats, promotional products, trade show displays, awards. They also offer free ground shipping to one location. It doesn't matter the size or anything. Man, these guys are awesome. They're in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot. You can make your business stand out from the crowd with the perfect apparel, team spirit wear, and more. Call them up, Probita's Promotions, 1-866-PRO-SWAG, or shop probitaspromo.com. And again, that hint is Friend of the McNugget. Hey, stay tuned. The Best Forking Sports Arena Show will be on tonight at 6 o'clock. We can't do the show on Friday morning as usual, so that'll be a great day. Tomorrow, Dirty Thursday with the Bullring Boys, we are kicking off a show with race car drivers' better halves. Yeah, that's right. We're going to be talking with race car driver wives. And tomorrow, to kick it all off, late model driver Dustin Strand's wife Savannah will be at the show. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Hey, everybody, remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone, too. You'll never miss a show that way. And we're on Rumble now. You know, the Grand Cities is an awesomely cool place. Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.